This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Mark Shuttleworth.
That's right, it is Rock Talk. My name is Mark Shuttleworth, and this morning we are going to be speaking about Alcoholics Anonymous and the local chapter here in Rochester. We have Jan is going to be joining us on the phone in just a moment to share her story and how her life has changed as a result of this organization here in town. I want to give you the contact information up front. I'll repeat this at the end after Jan shares her story with us, and we're grateful to have her doing that. The website is rochester-ny-aa.org. And the phone number, 232-6720. We'll share this information again at the end of the broadcast. You can get all of that information and links from our website right now at legends1027.com if you head there. We welcome Jan to the program, who's going to share her story. Jan, thank you for your time today, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much for having me. My name is Jan, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 4th, 2001. I've been sober almost 20 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I drank alcoholically for over 25 years. I never intended to be an alcoholic. In fact, I purposely determined never to drink at all. But this disease got me by the throat and threw me down. Luckily, I was able to finally find a solution through the people and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I walked through the doors of AA finally so sick that it was only through what we call the desperation of the dying that I was willing to take this AA work seriously. It not only saved my life and gave me back my health, but it helped me develop a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. So the reason why I say I purposely never intended to drink at all was because I grew up in a house with a very angry, sick, alcoholic father. I saw what the disease does to families, especially kids. So I never drank in high school or through college. I was really afraid to be around people who were drinking. But on my 21st birthday, some of my friends took me out and told me that I had to have a beer on my 21st birthday. But I told them I didn't really like to drink and I didn't like the taste. But I did try it. And I said, I don't like it. And they said, well, why don't you try it with a cigarette? So I did take that cigarette and the drink of beer. And the two things together just weren't really that bad. So after that, I never drank without a cigarette. And I never had a cigarette without a drink. That's not a very healthy combination. But at first, I just drank occasionally. But then I married a guy from California, and we moved to L.A. And this was the 70s in L.A., and there my drinking really took off. We drank at the beach and at parties. We went to the clubs in Hollywood. We drank at the Roxy and the Whiskey, and I drank a lot there. Drugs are a part of my story as well, and the two really fueled each other. I started to do risky and stupid, embarrassing things. Like, we got invited to a political fundraiser one time for Governor Jerry Brown, who was dating Linda Ronstadt at the time. You know, this is quintessential California in the 70s. The governor-elect is dating the biggest singer in town. The fundraiser was a wine and cheese party at the Playboy Mansion. We probably pre-gamed and then drank as much wine as we could throughout the party. And then sort of towards the end of the party, someone in my group got the idea to jump in the pool and try to swim into the grotto, which was the cave under the pool. So if you can imagine this picture, everybody's standing around in their sundresses and their casual, political fundraiser clothes. I had gotten very dressed up, a cute sundress, and my hair was all fixed. But I'm jumping into this pool fully clothed, totally drunk. We swam through the hole into the grotto. Security came very quickly and kicked us out. They didn't kick us out of the party. They just kicked us out of the grotto. So now, for the rest of the time at the party, I'm walking around. My hair is dripping wet. My dress is soaked. My shoes are all squishy. And I'm, you know, enjoying the little political fundraiser party. I felt like a complete idiot and a drowned rat. Towards the end of my time in California, I started to do cocaine. It was introduced at a party, and I tried it, and I really liked it. For one thing, I could drink more and keep the party going long into the night. This behavior, as you can imagine, did not go well with what was becoming a fairly responsible corporate job for me. And I had a one-year-old baby at home by then, too. I remember brutal mornings and very difficult days. But all I wanted to do is drink more. My alcoholism was progressing very rapidly. I did kind of slow down during my pregnancy, my first pregnancy. I didn't drink. But when the baby was born, somebody brought a bottle of champagne to the hospital room. And I asked the nurse, can I have a glass of champagne? And she said, yes, you can have a little taste of a glass of champagne. I know I did not have a glass. I had two or three. And finally, or maybe more. And I had lost a lot of blood that day. Anyway, by the time the day was over and all the people had gone home, I asked the nurse to help me get to the bathroom. But instead of just taking care of business, I ended up falling down on the floor of the bathroom. So that the day that should have been the most beautiful, glorious day of the first birth, the first baby in our family, I was on the floor of the bathroom drunk. Luckily, I was offered a transfer to a headquarters job in Rochester, New York. So once I got here, my drinking continued, but my drug use stopped, and the job got much more demanding. Once I was working on a very big project, it was kind of my showcase project, which was going to catapult my career to something much bigger. I had worked six months or more. I had taken the team through many layers of management approval, and we were finally going up to the CEO. We were going the next day on the corporate jet, and I had the presentation all ready. That night, I got very drunk. I was boasting how important I was. I was toasting. I was being an idiot. And the next morning, I slept through the alarm. The plane took off without me. Somebody else made my presentation. I lied about the baby was probably sick or some stupid lie, but people didn't. They saw through it. They really started to notice. And so what I did was kind of take a job in a different department. Somebody else got credit for my project and the several million dollars that the whole program yielded for the company. And I went off to a different department. That job was actually kind of fun. I was in charge of launching new products. And one time I was taking a trip through Europe. It was about a 10-day tour through various countries, and at the end was Greece. So I was flying back alone from Athens, Greece, to New York Kennedy, and I was sitting in this plane in the middle seat between a man who was from Greece and a woman who was obviously from New York. The lady had, you know, furs and diamonds, and the guy, as soon as we took off, he started to play what appeared to be like bagpipes. He was like a goat herder or something. And the woman next to me started yelling at him, "What are you doing? You can't be making all that noise up here. Why don't you just go to the back of the plane?" And of course, in those days, you could smoke in the back of the plane. And he headed back there, and I turned around and went right behind him. And of course, the fun was in the back of the plane. There was that's where the smokers were. That's where the drinkers were. He was playing the music. We were toasting with ouzo. It lasted for at least 8 hours. Then we landed in Kennedy. I grabbed my briefcase and my cumbersome garment bag and my high heels and waddle my way over to customs. I'm looking for my passport. I'm drunk. I know I smell terrible. I lost my footing and landed flat on my backside. People started sort of helping me up. Lady, are you okay? I pulled myself away in indignation and said, you know, there's water or something on this floor that I slipped on. And I humped my way away from there. But in my mind, I realized, so now you're falling down drunk. So it wasn't just my job where I was trying to hide my drinking. I was starting to lie to myself that everyone drank like I did, and I wasn't so bad. I could control it, but I couldn't. And I was starting to lose my own self-respect. I was starting to encroach on my relationships at home. I was irritable and full of anxiety. I had a hair-trigger temper, and I was yelling at my kids. By this time, we had four. I was trying to hide the actual amount I was drinking from them, but they saw the aftermath, the hangovers and the withdrawal and the anger. I looked in the mirror, and I saw the alcoholic just like my father. I was becoming what I had vowed I would never be. I finally gave up and came to AA. I knew there was help here because my mother had gotten help from Al-Anon years earlier. So even though I was very afraid to walk through those doors, what I found were people who were smiling, welcoming, honest, and so kind. Their stories were full of disappointment, trouble, serious consequences, and sickness. But they told them with complete honesty and even laughed at the absurdity of the thinking that we all do while in the throes of this terrible disease. What I realized was that I was not a bad person, but a sick person trying to get well. And they were getting well too. And we were all helping each other because we knew how awful this disease of alcoholism is. And we were uniquely qualified to relate to the problems and suggest a solution. There are no rules in AA. Only suggestions. But taking those simple suggestions are what gave me a new life. Today, I have the love and respect of my family. My husband and I just got back, as a matter of fact, from a week in the Virgin Islands in St. Thomas to celebrate our anniversary. My kids bring their kids over and we celebrate, but I don't drink and that's fine. I ended my career as a corporate vice president. I have a group of intimate friends, and we all continue to help each other stay sober one day at a time. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Jan, we really appreciate you sharing your story with us this morning. If you want to reach out to Alcoholics Anonymous, the website is for the local chapter is rochester-ny-aa.org. That's rochester-ny-aa.org. And as Jan shared, if you're going through something like this, you are not alone. There are others along there with you. There are folks who are there to come alongside you. And as Jan said, friendly people at AA waiting for you. Phone number is 232-6720. That's 232-6720. And you can get all of this contact information again at our website, legends1027.com. Jan, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing your story here on the air. We are very grateful and we're happy for you.
Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.